with the view from her Jerusalem window. Here's Andrea Simontov.
Andrea, you are going to talk to us about sharing lessons from an unexpected event that inspired you during these unsettling times. And I, for one, can't wait to hear what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, Simon, we're our friendship is growing, both on and off. Everybody's in the room. Let's get the rumor mill going. Anyway,
yeah.
Our friendship, and you know, I don't shy away from controversy, and especially when it comes to the Jewish people. And but I struggle. You know, I want everyone also to like me. So I'm always thinking, you know, do we want to get harif about this, you know, really hot and spicy about this? And suddenly this week, in the middle of the week, I learned about, and we're going to get past the sad part, I learned about the death of a classmate, a former classmate, a high school classmate. And, you know, it could have been, I barely knew him. I'm sure that he doesn't remember me. But when I heard the story of not his passing, because his passing was really beside the point. It was the subtext. When I heard, I didn't remember him very, very well, but I had heard that he had become an accountant like all the good Jewish boys in school, and he drove a fancy car like all the good boys who were success stories. And he, you know, married the trophy wife, and then at the right time divorced the trophy wife, and had the place in Manhattan, and everything. Everything went out, and then I heard, and this goes back to my belief system that everything is about choice. And 9/11 came, and 9/11 it's a verb, it's a noun, it's the movie unto itself, comprised of just numbers. And 9/11 happened, and a lot of people just put their lives together, hobbled it to the best of their ability, and continued. And this fellow who grew up really in the flesh pots of Long Island, doing everything that was expected of him, you know, the license plate that probably said something like, he who dies with the most toys wins, you know?
Yeah.
And what I heard was he got up one morning and he hung up his suit and he disbanded his accountancy practice and chains and whatever, sold them, got rid of them, went back to school, and became a high school math teacher. And he then went and he began his whatever, what do you call it? Your residencies, your tutelage period. He started in inner city high schools. And this is not a guy, we're not talking from a frumkite aspect, or an area of religiosity. It is a man who narrowed his world, stopped trying to conquer it financially and conquer it materially. And he thought to himself, where can I make a difference? And the story went on that apparently he then remarried a woman who many said was too young for him, also the daughter of a revered educator. He ended up having babies. When he died last week, he had his oldest kid was 11. And what happened was, and there were people going through his house day and night during the weeks, you know, during every week, every month, every year that he was tutoring and teaching, and he coached, and he wanted none of a world that wasn't going to make a difference. And I just thought about that because at the same point this week, I heard the story. Oh, at his funeral, his brother got up and the first words out of his mouth is, I wish I would have told him. And what he really said was that he had last spoken with him on Saturday, and he didn't tell him that he loved him because the fellow I'm talking about was actually in the hospital waiting for a non-crucial procedure, and he died before the procedure. Madness. And his brother didn't tell him that he loved him. And I thought to myself, the world is burning. People are marching. People are screaming. People are frightened to talk. Something you love on television can disappear tomorrow because it gives the wrong message and not the politically correct message of tomorrow at 4 p.m., which will change, you know, next Tuesday at 1 a.m. And we can tell each other that we love each other. And we can tell each other that you've made a difference in my life. And you know what? Each one of us can make a difference in our lives. And I thought about a math teacher. Well, let's fall to our knees and genuflect because he was a teacher, and fall and pray and daven in front of nurses and doctors and social workers. If the world is burning, what are we going to rebuild? And I got my Torah from the death of a classmate who left behind a legacy of people saying, he made a difference in my life. Black kids, white kids, Asian kids, Jewish kids, trans kids. Need I go on? It was all done on video. You know, it was, you have to do these socially distant things, right?
Yeah.
And every face coming across the screen was a face of hope and a face of planning and commitment and investment in every tomorrow based on one man's decision to hang up his suit and leave the burning of Manhattan. And I just loved this story, and it was so intrinsically Torah. And I thought to myself, I'm high. People are sitting Shiva, and I'm high. Because there was a benefit from crossing orbits and crossing the story. And I thought to myself, Simon, if I don't share this story today with friends that I both know and don't know yet in South Africa, the way I did in Israel, and apparently this morning Nepal was actually listening in. And if I don't share this story, then I haven't met my obligation for the day. And that's what I wanted to share with you.
That is absolutely beautiful. I was having a thought the other day. I'm very much with you on this whole COVID changing our morality and changing our value systems. But a part of it kind of did hit home very hard, thinking, Simon, you've got the luxury to take it at that level. You know, you're not hungry. You're not worrying about what's going to come tomorrow. And there is so much pain, and there are so many people with such desperate need. I don't know if it's the time for like the sort of pinko liberals like me to sit and talk about, you know, revaluation of morality. But anyway, that's just where
fair,
my head is.
Fair. In my last moment, standing on one leg, it doesn't matter how big our lives are and how small. What makes us the same, Simon, and don't be frightened. I don't know what white privilege is. I don't know what financial privilege is. I think that this stops and paralyzes the conversations. I think that the conversations are, yes, even if you're hungry, you can be angry, but you don't give up hope. And it still doesn't take away the obligation to tell someone that you love them.
That, Andrew Simontov, is why we absolutely love speaking to you. Thank you so much for that input today. And, Shabbat Shalom, Andrea.
Gam lechem, Shabbat Shalom and Mevorach. Bye bye.